Welcome to the Barbell Coach and Physio, diving deep into all things powerlifting, strength, and rehab. Your hosts are Matthew Burton from River City Barbell and Laura Fox from Fox Physiotherapy and Strength Rehab.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Barbell Coach and Physio. Co-host Matt here. This week on the episode, me and Laura got together and spoke a little bit from a athlete and a coach perspective about losing clients and moving on to different coaches. So we spoke on different sides of each story about if you want to move on from a coach, that you shouldn't feel obliged to have to stay with someone because of loyalty or respect to that person. You're paying for a service and how you should be able to move on and do whatever you like. But then also we spoke from a coach perspective when people lose clients, how they should respond to that and how you should approach that, because I've seen in previous times people approach their clients in a negative way. I've done it myself when I first was a coach. I think it's part of the growing part. You're like, oh, what did I do wrong, blah, 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 and you kind of start pointing the finger. But we dive deep into that and how you should approach it, and maybe it will help someone on their journey trying to find a new coach or something like that. But if you enjoy the episode, be sure to reshare it and let us know. But on the other end, check out our sponsors, Cyborg and Five Active. Both have beautiful, amazing brand of drinks and protein. If you do buy their products, take a photo of it, tag us in it, tag Cyborg, use our discount code, which is in the show notes. Other than that, if you enjoy the episode, please reshare it. I'll talk to you soon, guys. Have a good one. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Barbell Coach and Physio. It's been a long time coming. It's been two episodes of me lately because Laura has been busy. Last week's episode was actually really interesting. It's a shame Laura couldn't get on that one with Papa Bears, but this week's just me and Laura, and we're going to talk a little bit today about something that we think in the industry has been around for a while. But before we get to that, how you been, Laura?
Yeah, I've been well. I've been good, thank you. Yeah, just keeping busy with work, training. Had mum over from Tassie for the weekend, which was lovely. Yeah, how's your week been?
Yeah, good. Just same old stuff, just work, just kind of plotting along at the start of the year. Had some things happen as I did, but also just been trying to work on a heap of content and just a bit of changes in my business. Writing like a lot of ebooks and stuff like that. So soon there'll be a heap of stuff. Zoe's about to release a nutrition course for powerlifters. Me and Dean are just working on some stuff in the background, doing some content, I'm going to start doing YouTube a little bit more this year and releasing more content towards like the athlete and like clients rather than just showing people results. So just been working on things in the background, but same thing, trying to plan a trip to America at the end of the year too. So that's on the cards and, yeah, just a few different things.
America, that'd be sick. And is that for a competition?
Not to compete. Nah, just for a holiday. I want to go see some friends. So I want to go see Travis, who we had on last week. Then I want to go see Jim, who's my mentor. And then I want to try and get my way over into Canada, if they let me over the border, and go see Bryce from Calgary Barbell. So kind of more just want to go hang out with people and just connect with those people who I've connected with on this podcast, but like in person. So
yeah, sick.
At the same time, kind of sightsee as well. So yeah, make a couple of weeks of it. Hopefully we can do like 2 or 3 weeks over there. I'd like to spend like about a good 2 weeks in America and then go over to like Canada for a week. So we want to fly into New York and drive down through Philly, Washington, D.C., down to where Travis is, and then drive back to New York and fly up to where Jim is, and then maybe drive from Jim to Calgary because it's like 30 hours over the border. So just kind of like do something bit of a different, you know what I mean? Like I haven't been overseas ever besides New Zealand, so I wouldn't really call that overseas.
Yeah.
Over a little pond, but not much.
You haven't been out of Australasia?
No. I've been to like Tassie and New Zealand, but I don't like New Zealand, I don't really class as like that far away. I haven't been overseas.
Yeah. Did you need your passport for Tassie?
No, not for Tassie, you don't.
I'm just joking.
No, you need one from New Zealand.
Wait, what?
Because aren't we like citizen? I'm pretty sure I have a passport. I can't remember when I went over. I was like 22, but I'm pretty sure that like we're citizen countries, aren't we?
Oh, no, you would have needed a passport, but like we don't need a visa or anything. Yeah.
You don't need like a visa. Sorry. Yeah. That's what I was mistaken. Whereas like I need to get like a traveling visa for like America and shit.
Yeah.
When I go through customs, they're going to like fucking pat me down for sure.
But, are you one of those people who always get stopped and at the security check?
You know what's crazy? Every time I go through, like, and it's funny you say this because now we're talking about it. I bet you on Saturday when I fly to Melbourne that I'll get checked now because we're talking about it.
You'll get checked.
They always bombs check me.
Oh, you're one of those.
They don't go through my, like, anything else. They just bomb check me. I'm like, man, do I look like someone that's got a bomb on me? Come on.
I swear I always get pulled over when I've got my lifting belt in my carry-on because it's like they don't know what it is, and then they'll open it up, and then or you have like pre-workout or something and they're like looking at what it is. But yeah, like every time you carry a lifting gear in your carry-on, I swear they pull you over to check it, which is absolutely fine. But yeah.
No, I'm putting everything in my onboard. Like, so obviously we're going to bring like our gym equipment down to train at Pro Raw Monday. But, yeah, same thing. Like, I'll put it all on my, like, one that gets sent on the plane so I don't have to deal with that shit.
Yeah.
But, yeah, other than that, yeah, plan that. At the end of the year, we're going to head over there. And then besides that, just working on business goals, I guess. Like, I just hired a new mentor. We're kind of just focusing on content creation like I just spoke about before just because I want to dive deep into that. And then I started a new hobby.
Ooh. What is this hobby?
So
wait, let me guess. Wait, give me a hint and I'll guess.
So like when we talk about like level 10 hyperfixation that I have from ADHD,
yeah.
Like when I find something, I just like get so absorbed in it that everything else in my life just disappears besides work, of course. So me and Dee have started this hobby about like with like insects. So you get like dried insects and you frame them and stuff and you shape them to look like like in certain, like butterflies, spiders, everything. So I had like an obsession with buying them and like had, I got them all around the house and stuff. And then I was like, oh, why don't I just learn how to do it? And then I learned how to do it. And we did classes with a chick in our town who runs a business called The Greenery, I think it is. And it's like all gothic and like taxidermy stuff and that. And I got to know her. Because she's a powerlifter as well, or used to be a powerlifter. And I got to know her, and then she offered to teach us how to do it. So we started doing classes with her. And, yeah, now I'm doing that at home and have a whole section in the house dedicated just to that. So soon I'm going to have, like, we're going to create, like, a little side business out of it because I actually really enjoy it.
Yeah, nice. Do you name the insects?
No, like, there's certain, like, at the moment I've got a triantula that I'm working on.
Ugh.
Yeah, like, it's big too. Like, it's like this big. And then I've been doing like a couple of butterflies and then a few different other things. Like there's a, I can't remember the spider with really long legs are, but got one of them as well.
The daddy long legs?
Nah, it's they look like a figure eight. I can't remember what they're called, but yeah, one of them. But yeah, like it's, you'll see once I'm just waiting on stuff to come from America at the moment for the frames and shit. Like, cause I'm like, you know what I'm like? Everything's got to look perfect. So I bought a heap of stuff to decorate the frames. We bought like inserts for the frames and it's just going to look like really cool. You'll see when they get finished and I start putting stuff up, I'm going to build like individual pieces and sell them as like art, like individual art pieces instead of being like multiple mass producing stuff. So they'll be at a higher price. Like, but I've already got people that are interested in buying stuff because it's going to be pretty cool. So it's just different.
Yeah, perfect. Well, you have to put a photo up on your story, on the podcast story, so everyone can see this new hobby of yours.
Yeah. So the name of the business that we decided to call From Darkness We Grow. So it's kind of it's a bit of like a concept of like where we both came from like a dark background and like grown into something much brighter, but it's kind of the expression of the art will be that kind of thing. So cool. Yeah, something cool and different. Something to get me, the whole purpose of it was to get me away from work all the time because like I'm so hyper fixated on powerlifting that everything in my life just is surrounded by powerlifting. So kind of when I was talking to my therapist, she's like, you need to find a hobby outside of just training to stop you from being so hyper-fixated on work all the time.
Yeah.
And take you away from it so that we found something different and I'm actually really enjoying it. So
yeah. Yeah, I think it is important to have another hobby or just something to I guess it takes your mind away from always thinking about work or thinking about training. Like it's good to
Before I was a coach, like training was my hobby, but now training is my work and then now my hobby is my work. So it's like hard to get away from it, if you know what I mean. So having something different to talk about with my friends or and I've actually met a bunch of new people through this hobby. So it's taken me to a whole it's taken me out of like my comfortable zone of just being able to talk about powerlifting and actually meet people external to powerlifting and make new friends that are not just involved in powerlifting. So it's been good. It's good for me. It's going to be good for my mental health, I think, like long term.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're obviously someone who has quite a creative brain as well. So it'll be good for you to, be able to focus your mind on something different, let out that creative flair, but, something away from work, which will probably be quite, even though it's a hobby and you're trying to make a business of it, like it'll probably be quite relaxing, quite refreshing just to have a different area of interest.
Yeah, for sure. It'd get me off the PlayStation too. Because right now when I'm trying to get away from work, that's what I do, go sit on a PlayStation. So, and that in itself isn't as healthy as it should be, you know, because there's no creativity in playing a fucking game. But, yeah, so other than that, that's it. And training's actually been going really well when it comes to training. So I've got my groove back with sumo again. Last night I pulled 240 and it was like easy as fuck. I went for a bench PR at the start of this week and failed it due to fatigue. I'm going to put it down to because the week before I benched 162.5 and it moved super quick. And then I went to 165, which was a 2.5 PR. And just I got a massage and needled the day before. And I was just like, I had a bit of a mental, it's been a bit of a rough week for me as well, personally, when mentally. So like it just caught up on me. And with that, I think like just the fatigue and the external stresses have just caught up on me. So we're deloading next week and then we'll go into another mesocycle. We just reintroduced low bar squats and they feel like shit, but that's all right. We'll move forward from that.
Yeah. Does the movement feel shit or the body just feels shit getting into that position?
Oh, man, it's a bit of both, eh? Like so tight in the upper body and my thoracic. Like I'm getting no bicep pain or anything, but just because I haven't been in that externally rotated position, I've got to do a lot of mobility to get myself comfortable under that barbell again. And then my movement patterns also change because I've been doing so much quad work that now my quads are taking over. So like I'm very hingy and I'm not used to the movement pattern. Even though it's moving well and it feels efficient, I'm just not used to it yet. So I'm still trying to find my groove. Whereas like sumo, I came back to it and I'd fully lost my groove in it. And then the other week I just realized I was swinging into my deadlift instead of pulling straight from the floor. And I was like, what the fuck? Why am I swinging in? And then I pulled from the floor and it moved like double the speed. So I found my groove again with sumo. I've just got to find my groove with squatting again. So
you'll get there. A couple of sessions and things will just click again.
Yeah. So I'm going to squat on Monday at Pro Raw. So we'll see how we go down there.
To my gym on Monday, Peninsula Barbell.
Nah, bro. Pro Raw is where it's at. I want to check it out for like for actual Pro Raw. That's why I'm going there. So.
Pro Raw's not at Pro Raw.
Yeah, isn't it going to be at Pro Raw this year?
Oh, has it changed?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's going to be at Pro Raw. That's where they had it last year.
No, last year it was the PTC in Carrum Downs.
Oh, true. Oh, well. Mm. I still want to go to Pro Raw gym because I haven't been there. It's probably the best looking gym in Melbourne.
Well, you have fun. You have fun training there on Monday.
Your gym's all the way over the like, other side of town, isn't it?
Or it'd probably be the same distance from where you're staying to where, to Pro Raw as to where I am. Yeah.
Yeah, but Pro Raw's on the way back to the airport too.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so that's why we're going there too. But, yeah, like I've always wanted to train at Pro Raw. Like it's been a destination that I've wanted to go to for a long time. So I guess that's why we're going there too. And check it out. Whereas, like, of course, there's plenty of gyms I want to go to down there. Like, I'd like to go check out Melbourne Strength. I'd also like to go check out, like, a few of the other, like, Marty's gym and then a few other things. But, like, I just think, like, Pro Raw is one that I want to tick off the box for, like, out of all the gyms. And then, like, obviously, there'd be, like, the bigger gyms as well, like the bodybuilding gyms I'd love to check out. But I think I'll do the rounds of the other gyms when I'm down for Pro Raw because we're coming down for a week.
So. No, there's definitely a lot of good gyms in Melbourne. We're pretty spoiled for choice compared to a lot of places, I think. I mean, you've got some really good ones up in Queensland for powerlifting.
Yeah, there's like a few now. Like Zero's got like three up here. You got Nexus. That's all I'd really go to. So
yeah.
I train at World, so I can't even talk. So, but yeah, other than that, let's slide into today's topic. Today we're going to talk a little bit about like the sides of things when you look at, like, if you're a coach, right, and you lose a client, how you respond to that. But then also if you're a client or you're being coached by someone and you feel like you're kind of not receiving what you want to receive or you feel like you want to move on to receive and try something new, how you should respond to that. Because one of the things I think from a coach perspective that I do really well is like if someone leaves me from coaching, I just say, you know, it was a great experience coaching you, blah, 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 and let them move on with like a positive feedback and getting positive feedback and why they left. So then if it was a bit of negative feedback, I can then improve my service to the next person that comes in. But I do think that a lot of people respond in a very negative way when clients leave. They speak to the client in the wrong way or they get a bit butthurt because someone's moving on. What's your concept and thoughts on that, Laura?
Yeah, absolutely. I think as humans, like obviously we all have a little bit of an ego. We try, personally, I try not to have one. I know a lot of coaches do. But yeah, I guess essentially like when a client leaves, like you often can see coaches put up a wall and get, oh, you see all kinds of responses. But I think like if someone's ego gets in the way, you can see them, yeah, I guess put up a wall, get a little bit defensive and kind of break that relationship that you've built over that time. Whereas I think it's not the end of the world because obviously it's good if a client stays with a coach for a long period of time because the coach will get to know their body, what it responds to, like what training nutrition is best for them. And obviously they can make some good progress. But I guess, yeah, if a client leaves a coach, they might be, yeah, having a period of time off, whether it's for financial reasons, whether other priorities, whether life's gotten in the way, or even maybe perhaps they're going to another coach. Who knows? They could even like end up coming back once they go to someone else and don't have a good experience or learn what they need to learn and come back. So I think for someone to take it to heart and kind of tear down that relationship definitely isn't a good thing. I mean, it definitely is an awkward thing. It can be an awkward feeling on both ends, I guess. Like if you've been with a coach for a long period of time and then you're wanting to, yeah, do something else, whether it's not like go train under another coach or whether it's to stop training for a little bit, like you've obviously built up that loyalty, built up that like professional relationship with them. So it'd be awkward from both ends. And especially once you're getting coached, like normally it's a long-term thing. So it almost would feel as like a breakup or something.
Yeah, like you can't, like I personally could experience this. You kind of feel like you're letting someone down as well. But you shouldn't feel afraid to move on because you want to learn. It's like as a coach, right, I finish a mentorship, so I move on to do another one. The person who didn't do my previous mentorship doesn't get offended because, like, I'm not doing their mentorship again. It's the same thing as a coach. Like, you're paying for a service. So if you feel like you want to move on and receive a new service, you shouldn't feel obliged to have to stay there. One thing that I experience as a coach when some people come to me, they're like, hey, can you not reshare things because I don't want my previous coach to get offended. I'm like, yeah, no worries, that's fine. Like they don't, like they say, oh, I don't tag you because of this or that. And I'm like, yeah, that's all good. It's like, but you shouldn't feel like that. You shouldn't feel like you have to make someone else feel happy because of your choices, because your choices personally are for you, not for them. And when you pay someone money, at the end of the day, you're paying for a service, not for their friendship. You know, as soon as that service is stopped, paid for, a lot of the time, most coaches won't even talk to you, you know. So it depends on the friendship wise. I know that if I left my coach, he would still talk to me numerous amounts, but it depends on that relationship you've built with that person. But then from a coach perspective, if someone does choose to leave you and go to someone else, your best option at that time is to ask them why they are going and ask for a completely honest opinion, so that if it is something negative, you can improve your service and take on board that actual advice or that noted information that they've given to you, so that the next person doesn't actually have to experience that. And that'd be the same as you as a therapist, right? Someone comes in and gets treated by you, and they could go talk shit and say, oh, Laura's so brutal at fucking massaging someone, which you are. Or you could be like me and just tell her she's a fucking asshole and hurts you.
I'm probably not going to change with that feedback.
Yeah, I know. But like if someone says like that to you, you could be like, oh, I'll go with Ali, you know, she's a bit soft-handed, you know. That's the thing. Like if someone doesn't get results from that, you can be like, hey, I've got Ali. She works for me as well. She's a little bit more soft-handed. She's probably better for you. You go see her. You know?
I mean, she's not soft-handed, but she's like, we do have a little bit of a different treatment style.
That's what I mean. Like, that's just she's not soft-handed, but I mean, like, in that experience, like, that's what I mean. And it's like, if someone comes to me and their coaching, they don't deal with the way I coach, which sometimes I can be very, like, on your back about things in a good way, not a bad way. But if you need someone that's a little bit more soft-spoken or, like, is not going to, you might need to go to Dean, who is a lot more of a calmer, like chilled person. I'll just chase you down and hunt you down and make sure you're doing your shit. But that's just me as a coach, and that's how I get results, which my athletes, it shows through. But a lot of the people that connect with me and come to me as a coach, their personality is what they need. But if you don't communicate like that, you're not going to be able to move forward to actually improve your service or find someone that's more suitable for that person.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think feedback is a great opportunity for growth in the business. Or if someone's unhappy, it's like a great opportunity for change, because it's like, yeah, perhaps you could implement some of that feedback to change your systems. Perhaps there's been a breakdown in communication, like perhaps the client expectations versus your expectations aren't aligned. Like maybe you haven't had a proper chat about goals or haven't had a realistic chat about what the process is, and you're both on different pages. So they're not happy because you're not on the same path as them. So yeah, I think if someone is not satisfied or gives feedback, I think it's a great opportunity for both parties to like learn, get on the same page and then make progress. Or perhaps even if it's their parting ways, I think it's still a great opportunity for growth as well. And I get it from the client, it probably could be a bit of a tricky one to be honest sometimes, like because they don't want to offend the coach or the therapist. But I think it definitely is, when you look at it from a business owner is continually trying to grow, trying to learn, I think that then the feedback will be, it depends on the person, but like you'd want to hope that typical business owner would be willing to grow and take on that feedback to become better, whether it's, yeah, pointing them in the direction of someone different who would be a better fit for them, or whether it's changing your processes or maybe you're just changing systems that aren't going to affect them because they're with another coach anyway. But yeah, I guess that's where it's more important to have that kind of growth mindset compared to a fixed mindset, because I guess the fixed mindset, you would just take on that criticism or feedback as negative, and that's where you then get your defenses up, put your wall up. Whereas if you've got more of a growth mindset, you'll see things from their perspective and you'll be open to perhaps changing, perhaps growing, or perhaps, yeah, whether it's a communication breakdown or whether it's actual systems that you need to change or implement. Yeah, I think feedback is a great opportunity for growth in a business.
Yeah, and then like as an athlete too, sometimes, you know, there's certain things when you're getting coached by someone that you want to change. Like I had someone come to me recently who was with a coach for 3 years, and all he wanted was a sense of community. He's like, I don't even care about like how you program, how you coach. I don't want to compete in powerlifting. I just want a community so that I have better mental health And I can like kind of relate to people who are going through similar stuff to me. And within my service, he was like, that I can see within your team you have that. And that's what I want. So he left his coach and came to me. And then his coach got really, really, his previous coach got really butthurt at him. He was like, look, man, it's like, it's got nothing to do with you or your service. He's like, I just want a sense of community. And that's what Matt offers. And that's what I want to be a part of. And I think at the end of the day, like if you're getting hurt over a client leaving, it's got to be something to do with like how many clients you have. So you're probably not, you need to improve your systems to keep clients, or you need to improve your systems to get clients, because you're probably looking at the figure that you're losing rather than the person that you're losing. You know what I mean? So most of the time, I think it comes down to money, and coaches get, they look at the number. Like if I lose a client, or like I've lost like three or four at the start of this year just because they wanted to move on to new coaches, or they're not training anymore. Like I had two that are not training anymore and they just want to do their own thing. And I don't mind. I just said, you're always welcome back. It was a great experience coaching you. Do you have any like negative or positive feedback? And nobody gave me any negative feedback. They all gave me positive feedback, but they all just said like, look, I'm just in a different stage in my life. I want to go do my own thing. And I said, cool, you're always welcome back. So it's, and I look at it as like out with the old. It sucks that people are like leaving that have been with me for like over 4 years, but you know, in with the new, find someone else to replace them, take them to their goal, help them achieve what they need to achieve, and then it's like move on. And you go through seasons in your business too, I find as well, where you have the same people for like 6 to 12 months, and then the kind of new people come into your, and I've noticed this now, the more I become a coach, new people come into your group becomes a little bit different, molds a little bit better, in a better direction. In my case, like in the last 6 to 12 months, I've had a lot of new people come into River City and mold it in a whole different direction where I wanted to be, and it was a good thing. So, and in 6 months' time, it might change again, but you just got to work and find the right strategies in places to get the right people in and attract the right people that you want. And if you want to keep them, ask the people that you coach what they want from you. That's all it needs to do. Like, don't think about like, I need to get you strong, I need to coach this person, I need to do this style of coaching. One thing I have learned about coaching is like, it's not about what your service is, it's about what the people you service want. So I just ask my people all the time what, and in the group chat, I'll be like, hey, what do you guys think that I can do to make your experience better? And get their feedback all the time, because if the people who are paying me money are happy, they're going to stay on. But then when I bring people in, they're going to stay on as well, because they're going to be happy with the service that I'm delivering.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point to make. That's where it comes down to like your expectations versus theirs as well, because it's like, say you haven't had a chat to them about what they want to get out of your training, out of your coaching, and you just expect it's like, okay, cool, they want to get stronger at squat, bench, dead, but no, you've got this guy there who just wants a sense of community. It's like, say you don't know that, and then you're just, he's ticking the boxes, he's getting stronger at squat, bench, and dead, you think things are awesome, but say on the other side of things, obviously you do have a good community, but say you didn't know that and you just like didn't involve him, or didn't, I don't know, for some reason that sense of community wasn't there, then it's like he's not going to be satisfied. So that's where, yeah, client expectations versus your expectations have to kind of both align.
But then also in saying that too, with your expectations, their expectations, he also just wanted someone to listen to him. So when I said to him, I go, what is one of the main things that you're struggling with your other coach? And he just said, like, I keep telling him that, like, I have a back issue, and he's like, you'll be right, just keep doing what you got to do. And I'm like, okay, so like, what's causing the back issue? Like, what exercises are not working for you? What are you struggling with? And he literally just told me a few things. I go, all right, we won't put them in your program, we'll change them up for this, this, and that. And he's done his first 6 weeks with me, and he actually checked in yesterday and was like, man, I feel the best I've ever felt. And I'm like, it's just a matter of listening to the person, like, and finding what they need to make them feel better. Because he has, I think it's L3 and L4 disc problem. And from previous people I've worked with, obviously me and you worked with Kyle, same thing, and other people, I've learned things from you and exercises you shouldn't do. And one of the main things that was aggravating it was a hinge exercise. So we just took all the hinge exercises out for like the first 6 weeks and just replaced it with a lot of quad work. And his response were to me, oh, I can see my legs are growing, my quads are growing. He's no longer thinking about the back issue anymore. He's thinking about what he's achieved in the last 6 weeks. And yeah, that's improved his mental health as well as being around community.
Yeah. Yeah, no, people definitely want to be heard. So I think if they have an injury and you just get told to ignore it, you can definitely feel like not heard, and you can just get frustrated because obviously you're doing things that are aggravating it, making you feel worse. Pain can affect your mood. It obviously in those exercises you can't push as hard, so you feel like you're not getting as much out of it. So, yeah, to feel heard and then to have the program accommodated for your niggle is – yeah, I think that's a very important skill to have as well. Like coaches, therapists, like we need to be adaptable. Like no two people are the same. How people respond to the same exercises or how people respond to manual therapy, it's always different. So we have to be able to adapt for that person in front of us. And
it comes back to like individualized programming, you know what I mean? It comes back to what is individualized programming. It's based around that person and what that person wants to achieve. And then another experience would be in the last couple of weeks, it was like two of my clients' goals completely changed. They went from wanting to be strong to body composition. So they just want to get leaner, which is fine. And that's fine by me. Like, so they're working with Zoe and they're working alongside me, but my training might have changed a little bit different towards what they're going to do rather than what they previously did because they were doing more strength stuff. So like they might have had a more higher volume rate, that type of stuff. But that is, if I didn't listen to that, they'd probably move on to someone who's going to listen to it. So you just got to, I do these things where at the end of a block, I tell people that like I review the block and then I'm like, you can jump on a phone call if you want. But I try and catch up with, because a lot of my people don't like phone calls. They just catch up with me in Messenger or we hang out or whatever. But while I'm hanging out with them, I make sure I find out like what they want to do so that we can get what they want to achieve, you know. And there's nothing worse than when you pay someone for a service and you don't get what you want. So listening to the person like we just spoke about is one of the main things. And then from an athlete perspective, if you do want to achieve your goals, make sure you listen to your coach or your therapist, because like I think like a lot of people pay people for a service and they don't do what they should be doing, and then they're like, I didn't get results, but maybe you should listen to what you should have been doing. And instead of like just blaming someone for not receiving the service, because it can go two ways from an athlete perspective as well. Like some people will blame a coach, but they're the ones that didn't do the work also.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I guess people sometimes when things go wrong like to not take the ownership of their actions when they can put the blame on someone else. But I think that's as well where a good coach or therapist will kind of flag that early on that they're not putting in the work, and then they can kind of help shift it back onto them, like, all right, you haven't done this and this what I've told you, like how come, what can I do to help you achieve this? If that isn't realistic, maybe we can take a step back and do this other little stepping stone to get you there. So I think that's as well where the coach has to like help the client realize that they need to take ownership of their actions if they're not getting results. Like if you're not following the plan, like you can't expect to get results. Just because you've got a coach, like just because you're paying a coach doesn't mean you're going to get results. You have to put in the work.
Yeah, totally. And that is us up to the coach as well to chase them about that as well. And that's where I mean, like, oh, I'm very different to the way Dean coaches. I'm very pushy when it comes to certain things. If someone's not doing something, I'll be in the inbox, like telling them to do it, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's how I get results, by pushing my athletes to do what they should be doing. And that's why you pay for a higher service, you know? Like when you're on my higher level of service, you get fucking 120% of me.
That's why they pay the big bucks.
It's not that big. Don't say that. Joking. Then people won't come get coached by me because they think I'm too expensive.
I'm joking.
My top service isn't actually that expensive. It's quite cheap for what you receive, to be honest with you, compared to most people.
Good value for money.
Oh, you do. You value for money. Like, it literally is. And you can ask any of my athletes about that. But that's an easy way to probably finish up. Only a short episode this week. But if you guys enjoyed this episode, please share it and subscribe to our channel. I appreciate all our new listeners. There's been a heap of new listeners this week. I think we hit a big week of like 200 downloads this week already. So I appreciate everyone that listens in. I hope you enjoy the episodes. And if you've got any requests for any coaches or therapists you would like us to talk to, feel free to slide in our DMs. Or if you are a coach or therapist that would like to come on and have a good topic to discuss, just send us a message and we're happy to get you on. Thanks, guys.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Barbell Coach and Physio Podcast. Subscribe to hear future episodes and join us on Instagram at Barbell Coach and Physio and at Fox.Physio and River City Barbell _Oz.